From claims of healings and visions to the world's most inexplicable events, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, the truth is always worth the hunt.
EWTN Radio presents The Miracle Hunter with Michael O'Neill.
Welcome to the Miracle Hunter Radio Show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. Well, it still feels good to be back in the United States. I've spent about a week in Poland and Lithuania. We're filming new episodes of the Explorer series, my EWTN television program, which airs on Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And it was such a wonderful trip getting to spend time in those great nations with the Polish and Lithuanian people and trying some food that I haven't had before. It was food and beer from Poland. It was quite enjoyable. So it was a great experience seeing that beautiful country with places like Our Lady of Częstochowa, all the places where John Paul II lived and worked, and also St. Faustina, the various sites in Poland and Lithuania. An amazing trip, and I'm still recovering, strangely, from the jet lag of that. Eventually, I'll be caught up. But anyway, I'm here with you today, and today is the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima. Happy feast day, everyone, and it's one of the major Marian titles we have in our Catholic Church, of course, and we talk about Fatima, Lourdes, and Guadalupe as being the big three, and so today is a great day to celebrate. And also, we'll be talking later in the show today with David Carollo, who is the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima. He'll be giving us some reflections on the meaning of the Fatima message for today's world. And we'll be also talking with Father Ed Broom. He's the author of the Compendium of Marian Devotions, an encyclopedia of the Church's prayers, dogmas, devotions, sacramentals, and feasts honoring the Mother of God. This is a perfect book for the month of May. I've actually given this book as a gift to various friends and family members, people who love Mary. It's got everything in this book, and it matches somewhat to my other book with 10 books called The Compendium of the Miraculous. These books are of a similar style and shape and color, so they kind of go together. This is another great book out there from 10 books. It's from Father Ed Broom. We'll be talking to him later in the program today. And check out my program, Explore with the Miracle Hunter, which airs every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And for Saturday, May 20th, which is the next airing, and I think this week is a week off due to the Fatima feast day. They've got some Fatima programming airing tonight. But next week, on May 20th, we've got the Trey Fontana episode. And Explore with the Miracle Hunter, I look at a miraculous encounter at the site where St. Paul was martyred, and the Virgin of Revelation's appearance to Bruno Carnacchiola, a rabid anti-Catholic, changed both the man and the church itself in a big way. So check that one out. This is one of my favorite episodes, one of the strangest stories, one of the absolute great conversion stories. I'm sure we'll be revisiting this again in a future radio program. We did it a couple of weeks ago and in a future show. I just think the story is so good. Check out Trey Fontana on Explore with the Miracle Hunter. That's next week, May 20th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can also check out my latest book, also from Tan Books, Science and the Miraculous, How the Church Investigates the Supernatural. It's available at EWTNRC.com. And people have that question, is the church anti-science? I know a lot of young people may ask that question, and others wondering if the church is actually against science and if it's impossible to be a person of faith and a person of science. Well, in this book, I try to dispel that myth a little bit, or at least to show in the various ways throughout history where the church has been a great patron of science and a promoter of science. Even you talk to you look at some writings of Pope Francis where he talks about how the theory of evolution and Catholic teaching are not in contradiction. So the church embraces science wholeheartedly where it's possible. And so in my book, Science and the Miraculous, I take readers through the church's rigorous investigation of miraculous occurrences, including Eucharistic miracles. So that's a great thing for this time of Eucharistic revival. Check out my book, Science and the Miraculous. Later in the show, we'll be looking at the 365 Days with Mary project. For today, of course, we have Our Lady of Fatima from May 13th, 1917, and also the might-be saint of the day, Blessed Magdalene Abruzzi, on May 13th, is from Italy, who lived in the 1400s. She's the might-be saint of the day. And the question of the week, have there been any recent Marian apparitions? That's a good one, and many people have this question, so I'll be trying to answer that later in the program today. Let's take a look at the Miracle News. We do this every week where we have a question from a listener who writes in questions@miraclehunter.com, and I try to answer that later in the show. And we've been getting lots of questions related to the Hartford Diocese investigating the alleged possible Eucharistic miracle that was claimed about a month ago there. And so, while this isn't a question of the week, I'm answering it with a Miracle News item. Many people want to know what's happening there in the Hartford Diocese. And so, just this week, the Hartford Archdiocese asked the Vatican to investigate the possible Eucharistic miracle. So the Archdiocese is speaking to the Vatican for guidance on how to proceed with its investigation of a possible Eucharistic miracle at the St. Thomas Catholic Church in Thomaston, Connecticut. And I've been there filming for the They Might Be Saints episode about Father Michael McGivney. Now, this referral is the very first public update by the Archdiocese since it was reported in March that Jesus, truly present in the Holy Eucharist, appeared to multiply himself in the ciborium, typically a gold chalice that holds the Eucharistic body of Christ. And the quote was, "Reports such as the alleged miracle in Thomaston require referral to the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith in Rome. The Archdiocese has proceeded accordingly and will await a response in due time," says David Elliott from the Archdiocese. And I've spoken to David in the past, and we're still looking to perhaps have him on the show when more information comes out about that. But it's unclear how long the Dicastery could take to respond to the request, Elliott says. And since news of the possible Eucharistic miracle spread, a number of pilgrims have flocked to the church where Blessed Michael McGivney, the founder of the Knights of Columbus, was once the pastor. And on March 5th, at the conclusion of Mass, Father Joseph Crowley announced that a Eucharistic minister witnessed something unexplainable as he was distributing communion. His quote was, "One of the Eucharistic ministers was running out of hosts, and suddenly there were more hosts in the ciborium. God just duplicated himself in the ciborium." That was what Crowley said. And you can see that clip online because they recorded the Mass. So absolutely amazing. And I am curious to see if by virtue of them contacting the Vatican means that they do have footage from the live stream, which would indicate that this multiplication really happened, or if they don't have enough information and quite don't know how to craft the media report. So I'm not quite sure which of those two scenarios is going on, but we will report back shortly when we have more information. Let's take a look at Catholic Pub Trivia. We do this every week where we give a trivia question and give out a prize to an emailer that writes in the fastest with the correct answer. And last week we had the question, this is the month of May, the month of Mary. What is the technical term for the veneration given to Mary, as opposed to that to other saints who worship the worship given to God? And so we had a number of people writing in with this correct answer. I'm always impressed because this is a very technical Catholic term, you might say. Not everybody knows this one, but latria is the term of the worship given to God, and the honor or veneration given to saints is considered dulia. That is the word that's used. And then hyperdulia or extra dulia or extra veneration, we might say, is given to the Mother of God. And so thanks to everyone who wrote in with that correct answer. I was impressed with how many people knew that fancy Catholic term, hyperdulia. Let's take a look at the trivia question for today's date. We always do this. We give out a trivia question, give out a prize for an emailer with the right answer. For today's date, we've got May 13th, which is the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima. Perhaps it is the greatest modern Marian apparition. I like to refer to it as the gold standard of Marian apparitions. And when we talk about Vatican-approved apparitions, they're very rare. So the question is, what is the most recent case of an approved, a Vatican-approved Marian apparition? If you think you know that answer, when I win the prize, the image of the faces of Mary, send me an email to miraclehunter@ewtn.com, or go to my website, miraclehunter.com, and send me a message to the contact tab that way. And answers and winners will be posted on the show page on miraclehunter.com. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking with David Carollo, the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Happy Feast Day of Our Lady of Fatima, everyone. Today is May 13th, of course, and it is one of the major Marian feast days, especially when we talk about the miraculous. I always mention Fatima, Lourdes, and Guadalupe. Well, today is the Feast Day of Our Lady of Fatima. And we're so excited today to replay an interview for you with David Carollo, the Executive Director of Our Lady of Fatima, Fatima World Apostolate, I should say, and that shrine there on the East Coast is so beautiful. I encourage people to check that one out. But let's take a listen to a conversation with David Carollo. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Michael. Great to be with you.
David, today is the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima. It's a big anniversary for miracle-minded Catholics and people who love Mary, and maybe all Catholics celebrate the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima. It's one of the few miraculous occurrences that have made it into the general Roman calendar, so it's a big day for all of us. And of course, as the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, this is probably your big time of the year, the popular time of the year when people are visiting your shrine there and paying special attention to Our Lady of Fatima. And as we move into the next 100 years of Our Lady of Fatima, what can we talk about as far as the importance of Fatima, especially with the war, Russia and Ukraine? There was the call for a consecration of Russia, and Pope Francis actually consecrated both Russia and Ukraine and the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Please talk about that consecration.
Yeah. Consecration brings about grace. Okay, now, you know, it's what we do with it afterwards that matters. And I think that's what people have to understand. So the Holy Father makes the consecration. All these bishops, priests, and laity participate, ourselves included. We had a Bishop Nicholas DiMarzio, the Bishop Emeritus of Brooklyn, who's a regular visitor here at the shrine on that day, and prayed the consecration prayers here. Our bishop, Bishop Cecchio, who's the bishop of the Diocese of Metuchen, where we're at, had another commitment at the cathedral, but he assured me he was doing it there. We were in New York. I was at a personhood pro-life rally in New York, and we prayed it there. Okay, so I mean, my point is that there's so many people that did this, but now that brings about grace, and that's beautiful, but what do we do with it? We have to fulfill the message of Fatima, and the unfulfilled part is the first Saturday's devotion. That's the unfulfilled part of the Fatima message. I truly believe when enough people do that, you'll see things like the Triumph of the Immaculate Heart. We're looking at a difficult time in this world in general, and the Russia-Ukrainian thing is just one part of it. Okay, you know, Our Lady promised an era of peace, but peace is not necessarily defined as the absence of war. What about the internal peace, the peace of the soul, the peace for people to be in the state of grace and ready to meet God if called? That's what true peace is all about. So the First Saturday's devotion is a big part of it, and we have just come out with a passport. We call it the great passport. This is this is our, it's on our website at bluearmy.com, and what it is, it's modeled after the passport you do when you do the Camino to Santiago de Compostela. We're asking people to do it and fulfill the five first Saturdays. Now, the challenge is this. Once you fulfill the five first Saturdays, you need to continue on. That needs to be an ongoing devotion. So that's why we typically refer to it as the First Saturday's devotion, not necessarily the five first Saturdays. And I think that is, you know, that's important for people to understand, because you're signing on to a way of living. So, you know, the Great Promise Passport is what we're calling this, because these are the beautiful promises that Our Lady made for those who fulfill this First Saturday's devotion. But you do it to become holy. You know, the spirituality of Fatima is about devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's bringing yourself into that Immaculate Heart, making your heart like hers. And this is a big part of it. You're making reparation to the Immaculate Heart to become more like her, to think like her, and to act like her. That's really what this is about.
Absolutely. We're talking today with David Carollo about Our Lady of Fatima and that big Marian consecration of Russia and Ukraine and the world that happened in recent times. Did you run into a lot of people contacting you saying, hey, we thought the war was going to end or there was going to be some miracle when everybody gathered together for this consecration led by the Pope? Was there disappointment or was there confusion that you experienced with people contacting you about what was going to happen next?
Michael, I was interviewed, I don't know how many times that week, and in similar way, what you're talking about. Everybody wants to know our opinion on this, about the consecration, about what this means, and what it means again is that once again it's being brought in front of us. Okay, this idea that it comes back on us. And this is what we can't stress enough, that no matter what the leaders do, you know, no matter what the Holy Father does or doesn't do, no matter what the priests do or do not do, or the bishops or whatever, it's how do we respond? You have to look at the children of Fatima. Look at their simple faith. And I think that's the way to understand the message of Fatima. Look at the simple faith of the two young ones, Jacinta and Francisco, two saints, of course, now, you know, how they, and all three of them, of course, but the two of them, you know, lived very short lives afterwards. But what they did for the church and to teach us in those 2 and 3 years after the apparitions before they died, and then what Sister Lucia took on for 88 years, basically explaining it and being there and defining the message of Fatima. The message of Fatima, the consecration, all of these things are, you know, are, how can I put it? They're for us to keep moving forward, but they're a call to action. A consecration is nothing more than a call to action on our part. Things don't end because of a consecration. We know that after the 1984 consecration, no one can argue with what happened in Eastern Europe, the fall of the Soviet Union. I mean, to think that the Soviet Union dissolved without a shot being fired, if somebody told you that in 1980, would you believe it, that was going to happen? Who would have? You know, we were looking at a Third World War to stop this from happening. And it simply happened as a result of this and how people followed up. But now, where did the world go afterwards? Look at the decadence. Look at our country. You know, when we prayed for years for the conversion of Russia. Russia spread her errors in a terrible way from the time this consecration was asked for in 1929 until 1984. Russia spread her errors. And we say Russia, we mean, you know, the atheistic communism that seeded itself in Russia. This is not a statement against the Russian people. It's a statement against the system that rooted there, okay, and what it brought, the havoc it wreaked on the world. And look at our country. Look where we're at today. And it's so sad, especially here, because we are a country founded on great principles. And, you know, we have to straighten it out. We have to, you know, what is that? Things begins at home. We have to take care of things here before we can save the world. And I don't know, it starts with prayer and the action that prayer inspires.
Amazing reflections. We've been talking today with David Carollo, the executive director of the World Apostle of Fatima, known also as the Blue Army of Fatima. And for people who want to do these first Saturday devotions, perhaps even doing confession within some days of the first Saturday of the month, what is Mary asking us to do, or what is your understanding of how people can fully participate, especially with the timing of confession and Mass and all those things every first Saturday of the month?
Sure. Well, Our Lady asks that you receive communion and offer it in reparation to her Immaculate Heart on the first Saturdays of the month. To pray 5 decades of the Rosary, but then I love the other part where it says, and then to meditate on the mysteries of the Rosary. To keep me company, she asks. Please keep me company while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary. What are the mysteries of the Rosary? They're the life of they're the history of redemption. So when we start with the Annunciation and we end with the coronation of Our Lady, and you go through those, you know, joyful, luminous, sorrowful, and glorious mysteries, you are contemplating our salvation, our faith, what our Catholic faith is based on. And I think that's what she's asking. Now, you know, if you're praying a rosary every day, which if you're going to join our apostolate or any and many others, our pledge, which has been here now since 1947, we're in our 75th year. This is our 75th anniversary year. Wow. And that pledge that our founder, Mr. Hafford, worked out with Sister Lucia is the prayer that's on our website at BlueArmy.com, and people can sign up and become a member and join in on that. Join in on that work of bringing about, you know, salvation. You know, she asked the children, are you willing to offer your lives in prayer and reparation for the conversion of sinners? She had shown them a vision of hell. It's real. Let's be honest. It's real. The world doesn't want to talk about these things anymore, and I don't dwell on them. But people who decide to separate themselves from God end up in a bad place. We know that. That's Catholic teaching from day one. It's, you know, even prior to the Christian era, that was taught. So we have to understand that, she said, there are people that are there because no one was there to pray and make sacrifices for these people. Well, that's our job. If you're going to do what these children did, Jacinta, even it said that when Our Lady appeared to her in the hospital when she was dying, and she said, do you want to come to heaven now, or are you willing to stay a while longer and offer your sufferings to save more souls? She, without question, I want to stay. I want to stay and save more souls. You know, that's a child doing that. You know, what are we in our selfish world? Do we look at things this way? That's where we're at.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing. We've been talking today with David Carollo, the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, about Our Lady of Fatima. For those people who are interested in visiting your shrine or your website on the big feast day, tell us a little bit about what you've got planned for the big event.
On these feast days, May, June, July, August, September, and October 13th, we have our big events, and we begin with confessions, of course, at 10. Then at noon, we have our rosary procession, followed by a speaker at 12:30. 1:15 is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, followed by Eucharistic procession, enrollment in the Brown Scapular, and then the Fatima farewell. And, you know, it's a day of prayer and reflection. And we have our outdoor venue here seats 1,500 people under the roof. So come rain or shine, there's a place to sit, typically. Well, with the overflow, sometimes it's a little tight, but it's good. And all of our events are televised on our webcam, through our website, and on social media. So, so we're here for everybody to see and be part of, because we want you to join in this effort to bring about the triumph of the Immaculate Heart.
Absolutely. Well, we're so grateful to you, David Carollo, the Executive Director of the World Apostolate of Fatima. People can check you out at BlueArmy.com. Thanks so much for joining us on today's show, and a happy feast day of Our Lady of Fatima.
Great. Thank you, Michael. Always great to be with you.
We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be looking at the question of the week. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. I love getting your questions. People write in from around the world with questions about miracles happening in today's world and those that have happened centuries ago. And I love getting these questions. And when I give a talk around the country, I usually speak for about 45 minutes. I speak at various churches, shrines, and conferences, Catholic conferences. And they'll have me speak for 45 minutes, and then I'll open it up to question and answer at the end. And that's my favorite part. I always like hearing what people are thinking about when it relates to the world of miracles. And for people who want to invite me to their parish, many parishes are kind of interested with this Eucharistic revival on presentations on the Eucharist, the Eucharistic miracles. I'll be speaking later this month, actually, in Florida, in Naples, at a Marian Eucharistic conference. So I'll be speaking about Eucharistic miracles there as well. So you can go to my website, miraclehunter.com, and click on the contact tab to get a hold of me that way. And so related to questions, people have all these good questions at the end of these conferences, and I like being put on the spot. It's kind of fun to try to come up with an answer for the things people are thinking about. But this is a really good question that I got, and people have this question quite a bit. So it's a question from Stephen. Stephen writes, "Dear Miracle Hunter, have there been any recent Marian apparitions?" Well, thanks, Stephen, for that question. So when we talk about Marian apparitions, of course, on this program, I like to focus on those things that have been approved by the church. Those are always the safest and in some ways the easiest to talk about, even though there are others being claimed. The ones that are approved are the important ones for us to focus on, you might say. And so starting in 1983 and continuing to present times, we have Gladys Mota de Quiroga, a housewife from Argentina. And she's had these visions of Our Lady of the Rosary from San Nicolas, Argentina. And actually, I interviewed Bishop Hector Cardelli, the bishop there, who on my EWTN or on my radio show, I interviewed him. And I asked him, you know, why did you approve these visions? Because he did something kind of outside the ordinary. He approved a Marian apparition while it was still going on. And so that was a few years ago now, but he said the messages were so important to the world. And you can go on miraclehunter.com to read the messages of Our Lady of the Rosary. And when we talk about the apparitions with Vatican recognition, we have to go back to 1981. Our Lady of Cabejo in Rwanda, where the Virgin Mary appeared to a number of school children and on numerous occasions and predicted many things, including the Rwandan genocide. And this was recognized by the local bishop and later the Vatican in various ways has shown its signs of recognition for Our Lady of Cabejo. So I always like to refer to this as the most recent Vatican-recognized Marian apparition. But if we want to look at others that have happened somewhat recently, in September 2017 in Kerala, India, we have some school children there who, and Krishna Veda, Ambrosia, and Anustri, and other school children were said to receive visions of the Virgin Mary. That was being investigated at the time, but there's nothing that's come out on that. Also, in June of 2018, we have this in Cameroon, there were some villagers who, the Diocese of Sagmelina, they actually investigated some vision. Villagers claiming a vision of Mary. No update on that has been given either. And in 2020, in Atlanta, Georgia, Father James Blunt, he also claimed some visions of Mary. And so these all can be found on the tab of apparitions on my website. If you go click on miracles and then click on Marian apparitions and then click on the ones that have not been recognized by the church, this is the list. You'll see hundreds and hundreds of Marian apparitions over the ages, and especially from 1990 to present times, you'll see a very long list of alleged Marian apparitions if you go to my website. Perhaps it's the longest list anywhere on the entire internet. So thanks so much, Stephen, for your question. If you have a question for the Miracle Hunter, you can send me an email to miraclehunter@ewtn.com or questions@miraclehunter.com, and maybe I'll be answering your question on the air next week. Let's take a look at the 365 Days with Mary Project. Today is May 13th, and of course, it is the feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary of Fatima from Portugal. Each and every day, there's a different Marian devotion. I always like to say there's these smaller ones that line up to each day of the calendar year, but this is a big one. When it comes to miraculous Marian devotions, today is the big day. We talk about Lourdes, Fatima, and Guadalupe. Today is the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima. And the story, of course, goes that while tending sheep in a field called the Cova de Iria, Lucia dos Santos, age 10, and her two cousins, Francisco and Jacinta Marto, reported six apparitions of Mary, who identified herself as Our Lady of the Rosary. And Mary urged prayer of the Rosary, penance for the conversion of sinners, and the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart. On October 13th, the Great Sun Miracle of Fatima occurred, and she gave the children three secrets, the third of which was revealed as Pope John Paul II with Sister Lucia in attendance, and he also beatified the two deceased seers, Jacinta and Francisco, and made the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima universal by ordering it to be included in the Roman Missal. Pope Francis attended the ceremonies of the Fatima commemoration in the 100th year of the apparitions and canonized those two youngest visionaries. So today's date, Our Lady of Fatima from Portugal in the year 1917. For more information on this fascinating devotion or any of the hundreds of other Marian devotions from around the world, check out 365dayswithmary.com, pick up my book, or download the free app, 365 Days with Mary. Let's take a look at the sainthood news. We do this every week where we look at the people coming down the pipeline in sainthood causes, those people, servants of God, venerables, blesseds, before they have all their miracles and are declared saints by the Catholic Church. So the sainthood news is that Blessed Jacinto Vera, he's a witness of Jesus Christ, a builder of peace. On May 6th, the Church declared him blessed. He is the first bishop of Uruguay, Monsignor Jacinto Vera, and he's the Metropolitan Archbishop of Basilia, or Cardinal Paulo Cesar Costa, presided over the Mass, and he is the Metropolitan Bishop of Brasilia. He presided over the Mass with the rite of beatification at the Centenary Stadium in Montevideo, and that was on May 6th. So we have a new blessed from Uruguay, and that is Jacinto Vera, and with one more miracle, he will be declared a saint. Now, if we look at the might-be saint of the day, we do this every week where we talk about people on the path to sainthood, servants of God, venerables, blesseds, who have their feast day or death anniversary on today's date. And so for today's date, we have Blessed Magdalene Abruzzi, who lived in the 1400s in Italy. Now, she was born in 1415 or so at Como in Italy, and she was born to Italian nobility. And on the death of her parents, she became a nun at Brunate in Italy. And she was an abbess. She affiliated her house with the Augustinian hermits there. And she built a hospice in Como in Italy, encouraged frequent communion for everyone. She was known as a miracle worker and for her gifts of healing and prophecy. You'll find her somewhere on the MiracleHunter.com website. She died in 1465 on May 13th. Today is her death anniversary in Como, Italy, of natural causes. And she was beatified in 1907 by Pope St. Pius X. And with one more miracle, she will be declared a saint. And so today's might-be saint of the day is Blessed Magdalene Abruzzi from Italy, who lived from 1415 to 1465. For more information on future saints, go to theymightbesaints.com or check out my EWTN television program, They Might Be Saints, which airs on EWTN on Fridays at 4 p.m. Central Time. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking with Father Ed Broom about his book, Compendium of Marian Devotions, a perfect book for this month of May. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. This is the month of May, everyone, as we all know, as we're all getting settled in, and it is the month of Mary. And there are various ways to honor the Virgin Mary, whether it be with processions or May crownings, or a special dedication to pray the rosary every day. People in the Catholic world are all trying to honor Mary this month. And there's a book that I really love, and I've actually given it as gifts to various friends for birthdays and Christmases. It's a book called The Compendium of Marian Devotions, an encyclopedia of the Church's prayers, dogmas, devotions, sacramentals, and feasts, honoring the Virgin Mary, and it's out from Tan Books. And it's somewhat of a companion book, or at least of the same style, as a book that I contributed to, The Compendium of Mary of the Miraculous, also from Tan Books. So those books kind of go together. So if you like one, you might like the other. And the author of the book is Father Ed Broom, OMV, from the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. And he's put together an incredible book that, in a harmonious way, brings together the entire collection of all things Marian. We're talking about Marian devotions and dogmas and the whole like. It's really a great book, and it's kind of a beautiful presentation with a nice hard cover and also various photos and of artwork of Mary from throughout the ages. So we're so excited today to for this May to be talking with Father Ed Broom. Welcome to the program today, Father Ed.
Thank you very much, Michael. May God bless you and all of your listeners.
Thank you. Well, we're grateful for you joining us today. And I think, you know, for people who love Mary, this book is a home run in the sense that it covers everything that anybody would want to know about Mary. And, you know, there's a lot when it comes to Marian devotion, Marian saints, Marian feast days, various Marian apparitions. We talk a lot of on this show. Today is the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima. So, of course, that has a chapter in your book as well. So tell us, when you wrote this book, Compendium of Marian Devotions, tell us what inspired you to put this together?
Well, thank you for the question. First is I'm an Oblate of the Virgin Mary, and being an Oblate of the Virgin Mary, which means a total giving of ourselves to Jesus through Mary. Anything I can do to promote Marian devotion, I will do it. Earlier, I wrote a book published by Sophia Press, consecrating ourselves to Mary through the 20 mysteries of the Rosary and the seven sorrows of Mary. So I had an inspiration a few years ago. Well, why not write another book, which would be a little bit different literary genre than that? So my initial purpose was to write a book on Marian devotion, because there have been articles and perhaps books written on Mary devotion, but I wanted to be more extensive. And as I was writing, my editor said, well, Father Broom, why don't you add to it Mary dogmas? So I said, fine. And then he said, well, given that you've done that, why don't we make it more complete? Why don't you also write on the approved, the most well-known Marian apparitions? So I said, well, fine. So I was able to write a chapter on Our Lady of Fatima and Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Guadalupe. And then he said, well, you know, we should conclude this book by giving a rich treasure of Marian prayer. So the last part of the book, you have a treasure of Marian prayer. So that was kind of the origin and genesis of the book. It actually took a long time. It took about 5 years for it to be published. For number one is that I was writing, trying to get it published during the pandemic, and there's just many complications. And then the printing was actually done in Europe. The paper is very special. And then my editor actually died, and so I had to get another editor to work with me on it. So I think it was worth the time and the effort, because it is. I think it's a harmonious blend of Marian, Mariology. You might put it that way. You've got the dogma, you've got the devotion, you've got the Marian approved apparitions, you've got the prayers, and then you've got beautiful artwork that throughout the ages that we've been able to place as part and parcel of the book. So that's kind of an overview of the work.
Yeah, wonderful. And you mentioned there John Moorhouse, the editor of this book. He was also my editor for the book Compendium of the Miraculous. God rest his soul. He was a great editor to work with. And so this is quite a comprehensive book. As you mentioned, there are so many aspects to Mary. And it sounded like perhaps as this book was being written, it grew and grew and grew to include so many things. And the appendix of Marian prayers at the end is wonderful as well. And we have, of course, the Memorare and the Rosary and the Hail Mary, and all those have sections of the book in the middle of the book. So it's truly a comprehensive work. And we're talking today with Father Ed Broom. The Compendium of Marian Devotions is the name of the book. It's a great book for the month of May. And when we talk about the miracles of Mary or of Marian apparitions, you do have a section on Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Lourdes, and Our Lady of Fatima, and also Our Lady of Mount Carmel makes it into the book in another place as well. And so, and the Brown Scapular. When we talk about these Marian apparitions, Marian miracles, what role do you think they play in the lives of the faithful when we're talking about, you know, these Marian miracles? How important are they, and why did you devote time in the book to them?
Great question. Well, I think, Michael, we can go back to the Bible itself, in which we meet Mary in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1 and 2, in which you've got the joyful mysteries. And then we go to the Gospel of St. John. We encounter Mary in John 2 as well as John 19. John 2, we have the wedding feast of Cana, which is also the second luminous mystery in the luminous mysteries. And what happens is, you know the story that they run out of wine, and Mary turns to Jesus and says, there's no more wine. And Jesus says, what is this to me? My hour has not yet arrived. And then Mary says, do whatever he tells you. And we know what happened. Jesus performed his first public miracle through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So it's Jesus that worked the miracle, but it was Mary who's the catalyst, or you might say the aqueduct or the bridge by which Christ carried out this wonderful miracle. So in the history of the church, these approved and Marian apparitions, you have wonderful miracles. If you take, for example, Lourdes, you have the miraculous water, which many people have gone there, and there have been miracles in which people have been healed. And if they haven't been healed physically, they've been healed by making a good confession, which is maybe even more important, because the soul is more important. Then if you go from there to Our Lady Guadalupe, Michael, you could just go on and on and on about the miracles of Guadalupe. And myself living now in Los Angeles with so many Mexicans, it's just it's great to be here because they love Our Lady Guadalupe. But one of the greatest miracles is that after she appeared in the year 1531 to Saint Juan Diego four times, and then to the uncle Juan Bernardino once. After this great apparition, and then he goes to the Bishop Juan Zumarraga and opens up his tomb, and the roses cascade to the ground, and they're able to see the beautiful image of Our Lady Guadalupe. You had perhaps the most massive conversion in the history of the world. Within about 30 years, you had close to 8 or 9 million converts. I mean, talk about that. There's been a writer that said that it was almost like a perpetual Pentecost every day for 30 years, just waves of conversions of people to the Catholic faith. And through the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, and then, of course, Fatima, the perhaps one of the most famous miracles in the 20th century is October 13th, where you have the miracle of the sun, which the sun was spinning around like a Ferris wheel in the sky, and then you had many miracles that came out of that. So, it's a great question, and I think it's this, is that, as St. Louis de Montfort says, Mary's the quickest, easiest, most efficacious pathway to Christ. So Mary is always pointing to Christ. Those last words that she said, that we have recorded of her, do whatever he tells you. I said, that's the best advice in the world. we would simply put that into practice. Wars would end. There'd be harmonious fraternity among men and women throughout the world, we'd all be on the highway to heaven. So whatever I can do to promote Marian devotion, that's my charism as an oblate of the Virgin Mary. And I think even after Vatican II, there's been somewhat of a decline in Marian devotion. So I think we have to try to do all we possibly can to have an upswing. So that's my response, yeah.
Absolutely. We're talking today with Father Ed Broom, OMV, from the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, about his book, Compendium of Marian Devotions, an encyclopedia of Church's prayers, dogmas, devotions, sacramentals, and feasts honoring the Virgin Mary, honoring the Mother of God, excuse me. And it's out from Tan Books. And we're so excited to have you on in this month of May. It's absolutely appropriate. This is perhaps the most comprehensive book that I've ever come across related to devotion to the Virgin Mary. And this is the month of Mary. Talk a little bit about how Catholics around the world honor Mary during this month, and perhaps how somebody who picks up your book could use this book to honor Mary in an even bigger way this month.
Great question. Well, there are many, many devotions. There are May processions in which, especially children, when they're making their first communion, they can sing Marian hymns, and then they can crown Mary with a bouquet of roses. That would be one. Another one might be, I've mentioned novenas, in which you can make pray 9 days in a row to honor the Blessed Virgin Mary. And there are two specific Marian feast days in May, and one would be May 13th, which is Our Lady of Fatima. Then the last day of the month, we honor Mary in the Visitation, the second joyful mystery. But Michael, I never get tired of trying to promote the devotion of the Rosary. You probably heard of what Father Patrick Peyton said: the family that prays together stays together. And he also says, a world at prayer is a world at peace. And when she appeared in Fatima, May 13th, all the way up to October 13th, she spoke to Jacinta, Francisca, and Lucia. Each of the messages was a little bit different, but every time from May 13th to October 13th, she always said, pray the rosary, pray the rosary, pray the rosary. So those would be among the many Marian devotions. And when I go from parish to parish consecrating the people to Mary, I will end my consecration program with a Mass, and I will impose the scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel upon the people, and I've got a chapter on that also. So, yes, it's Mother's Day this coming Sunday, but we should never forget that Mary's the Mother of God, she's the Mother of the Church, and she's our Heavenly Mother, too.
Absolutely. And as I've mentioned before, this is an absolutely beautiful book. It's a great book to pick up for this month of May. It'll bring people closer to Mary and give them all kinds of ideas with Marian devotions and prayers for people who want to honor Mary this month. And so for people who want to pick up this book and find out more about Mary, where can people go? What's the best place to pick up the book of an encyclopedia of this church's prayers, dogmas, devotions, sacramentals, and feasts? The name of the book is Compendium of Marian Devotions. Where can people pick up the book?
Probably the best is just to Google in 10 publishers, and you'll be able to find the website as well as the phone number and order it by means of that. That's probably the best way to do it.
Wonderful. Well, we're so grateful to you, Father Ed Broom, for joining us on today's program and talking to us about your beautiful book, Compendium of Marian Devotions. Thank you so much for being with us on today's program.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless. That was Father Ed Broom, OMV, talking to us about Compendium of Marian Devotions, out from Tan Books. And that's all the time we have for today's show. If you missed any of this episode or want to catch up on past episodes, you can go to ewtn.com/radio, check out the audio archives, or download the free EWTN app. I'd like to thank our guest, Father Ed Broom, OMV, talking to us about Mary and his book, Compendium of Marian Devotions. Pick that one up from Tan Books or anywhere Catholic books are sold. And David Carollo, we are excited to hear from him, the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, on today's feast day for Our Lady of Fatima. Check out my program, Explore with the Miracle Hunter, every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Next week's program on Saturday, May 20th, is Explore with the Miracle Hunter, Trey Fontana. And I'll be investigating a miraculous encounter at the site where St. Paul was martyred and the Virgin of Revelation's appearance to Bruno Canacciola, a rabid anti-Catholic, changed both the man and the church itself. And check out my latest book from Tan Books as well, Science and the Miraculous, How the Church Investigates the Supernatural. You can pick that one up at ewtnrc.com. And I'd like to thank you today for joining me on Miracle Hunter, where from claims of healings and visions to the world's most inexplicable events, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, the truth is always worth the hunt. Talk to you next week.